This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And you probably notice I don't usually talk about politics unless there's an animal involved. And okay, I get to talk about Flag Day and the 79th birthday party, which was, I guess, a parade of the army, which I suppose was inspired by a French display that Trump witnessed years ago of military might when they had a parade. I never used to like these parades. When I lived abroad and lived in the Middle East, I used to see them on the TV and, you know, you'd try and flip around. Back then there were three or four channels and some of them came from odd places like Jordan or Lebanon or and sometimes you'd get these weird Japanese anime Christian cartoons. Sometimes you'd get English old movies. That was the jackpot. Lots of times you'd get these movies from India with Arabic subtitles or English dubbed in. Those were pretty good. Lots of the same themes, though. Poor boy meets rich girl. Girl's been taken off to a harem. He gets her anyway somehow. That's usually the theme. But with all of these shows, you had to sit through lots and lots of military parades by the Jordanian army. That was a big deal. All the time, it seemed like. And I don't know if they were reruns, the same parade, or parades over and over and over. But I used to think to myself, this is just so dictator-like. It just seems so strange to me. I don't know. But anyway, so France does it. The U.S. does it. I guess democracies do it, too. But I get to talk about it because there were animals in the parade. And I found it interesting to hear which animals were there. Now, we all know horses are part of the military. And of course, there were 34 horses. I would have liked more horses. I mean, there were a lot of other things. It could have been hundreds of horses, but okay, 34 horses, that's good. Two mules. Now, I found that interesting because at first I thought, well, how are they going to get the mules to behave? If you've ever worked with mules, you know that it's like flip a coin, test their mood. Even an obedient, hardworking mule who works for food can have a day where he just won't listen. Mules are interesting creature. So yeah, two mules and one dog. Now you might think the dog was keeping the mules in line, but he wasn't. The dog's a blue heeler called Doc Holliday, and he's with the 1st Cavalry. So salute to Doc Holliday, hardworking dog, I'm sure, as blue heelers are, as my blue heeler, Buddy Blue Bandit, was. He just passed away last week. So I guess we'll make this show in honor of Buddy Blue Bandit. I called him Blue because he came to me with that name. He had Buddy and Bandit in his previous owned lives, and he came as a true rescue. But we can talk about that later, the difference between a true rescue and what some people call a rescue. But anyway, so Buddy Blue Bandit, Blue, was a hardworking dog, intense, and Squeak, the one I had before him, which I rescued from a shelter, she was even more intense. They are these short, squat, little herding dogs who never stop working and keep their eye contact on you if you're controlling them and also on the animals. And they will turn a gigantic bull by biting him in the most tender part. You can guess what that might be on a bull. And they will bite the back of the legs of the females to get them to go where they're supposed to go and make sure that everybody gets fed and everybody takes a turn and there's no squabbling. And they do a lot of work with the herd. They can even work independently, go out with the herd when the shepherd is busy and not even there and manage the herd. So they're independent workers as well. Amazing dogs. But we can talk about the blue heeler another time. Right now, I want to talk about the goat. The goat. Yes, there's one goat. One goat. And he was in the parade. And why is the goat there? Well, interestingly enough, the goat is there to motivate the mules. I love this. Okay, so why would a goat motivate mules? Well, here's the thing. If you've ever heard the saying, did that person get your goat? When they're speaking about maybe you're irritated and you're angry and someone mouthed off at you, did they get your goat? Did they get you irritated? Well, the reason they say that is because fancy, high-strung race horses, competitive horses, show horses and race horses, they travel a lot and they don't really
sometimes like the traveling. And so it can put them off. They can maybe lose a race because they're a little out of sorts with their makeshift area or their new stall that smells like the last guy that was there or the ride that was a little bumpy or whatever. So they can be a little bit difficult to travel and transport and still compete with. But goats are pretty chill with all that. You give them some food and some shelter and they're cool. They don't even need all that. Goats are really hardy and really easygoing. And so they used to keep a goat in with the fancy horses because if the goat's fine, well, the horses figure they're fine too. And they just relax. And so this goat, who was highly motivated and walking along, would motivate the mules. And I think that's a great solution because if you had the blue heeler doing it, it might be a little off-putting for the children in the crowd. It might be a little too much teeth involved. So that's what I wanted to say about Flag Day and the birthday and the big parade. Lots and lots of animals, which I love. And the Calgary Stampede's coming up. If you can watch that on TV or get there, that's where you'll see horses. Oh, the most beautiful, magnificent horses and the lady trick riders, the women who ride the horses, doing acrobats on them. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing to see what people can do on a horse, with a horse, around horses, with animals on horses, everything to do with it. If you like horses or you just think they're beautiful to watch or you can't believe the majesty and the grace of the women who ride them. And I guess the toughness of the cowboys, too. That's another thing to watch. I mean, yeah, who doesn't love a good... Yeah. Okay, Calgary Stampede. Look out for that. If you're looking for horses and you want to see action, that's what you can watch on TV. All right, we're going to go to break and come back because I got so much to talk about. And my cat, Zena, is underfoot here in the studio. I tried to get her to leave, but she's determined to meow on air. So you might be hearing her later. Stay tuned and see if you can pick out the black cat meowing.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. Yeah, let's talk pets. So, I was just recently in Toronto, but I say it like a native. I was in Toronto, and in Toronto, it was pretty smoky because there's fires in Manitoba and other places, and the smoke is drifting. And it's not just drifting to Toronto, it's drifting to New York State and all around. It's even been to Europe. Sorry about that, everybody, but we do have some forest fires in the middle of our country in the prairies. And so what can you do about that? Well, one little quick, easy thing you can do is buy yams. You know those orange-colored potato-like things you get at the grocery store? And usually cook them like at Thanksgiving or something. Most of the time you don't eat them, but I eat them all the time. Lately, some of the fast food places make yam fries. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I want you to do. Although, you know, your dog could do worse than getting a few yam fries when you go to the fast food drive-thru and you're trying to feed him something from your bag. Maybe that's probably the best choice, but... nonetheless, what I'm talking about is you buy the yams, and some dogs like them raw. Most dogs prefer them cooked, but you can try either way. And when you cook them, you can put them in the microwave, you can put them in a pot, you can roast them, any which way, you can put them on the barbecue. They cook about a third or half the time a potato would. And if you wrap them up, all the juice, the sweet juice will be there. And I bet you're going to want some. So you might want to cook one for yourself too. Throw a little cinnamon and some butter in yours. Very nice. But for your dog especially,
if they have got runny eyes and they seem under the weather or they sound wheezy or they just seem like they're just so lethargic, like they hardly want to go outside or they want to go outside, but when you take them for a walk, they just don't have their pep. It's because they're not doing well with the smoke. And eating yams is one of the ways that will help their body get rid of that. It really, really helps with toxins for dogs. It helps for us too. So I would suggest just cook up some yams and squish it into the food, add it into the food. Chances are your dog will like it anyway. You might even use it as treats, but it'll help a little bit. Another thing you can do is there's a lot of smoke in the air, then it settles on their fur and then they lick it off. And there's toxins in that. So you want to keep your dogs brushed. You want to keep them groomed. You want to have short haircuts. Not all the way shaved, because then their skin's exposed to the sun and the pollutants, but short. And you want to be bathing them. If your dog will tolerate a vacuum, now's the time to vacuum them before they come in the house. And if there's someone in the household or family that's particularly sensitive to smoke, maybe they have COPD or just allergies, asthma, immune problems, whatever, they're not the person to do this. This week, this month, they're not the dog walker. They're not the dog groomer. Somebody else should be doing it just to give them a break from all this coming in. So I want to talk about that, but I also wanted to talk about the dogs of Toronto. Big shout out to Lucy, the Portuguese water dog who lives downtown. And I saw her visiting, being snuck into hospitals and hospices and visiting many, many people and spreading joy with her absolutely mellow way. Yes, Lucy, the Portuguese water dog at 8 years old, making friends everywhere she goes. So that's Lucy. And then there was Callie. Callie, the golden retriever. Actually, I think Lucy's 11. Callie's 8. Callie, the golden retriever, who loves to go for a walk and loves to cuddle, and is kind of the quintessential golden. But the one thing she doesn't love so much is her sometimes roommate, Tex. And she's okay with him, but Tex is a rude dude. Tex is a dog from Toronto, and he is a big, big dog with a head like a cow and a huge, long body. He sort of looks like a lab if you fed the lab steroids. He's about 120 pounds, and if you want to get a look at him, well, I think he is. Maybe you'll guess his weight. I posted him at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook when I was in Toronto, because he is just huge. And when they got him, they thought he was a lab, and they thought he'd be a lab, and he had really little paws, and voila, he is ginormous and not a lab at all. So good dog, but quite wild and unruly. And in his adolescence, with his size and his puppy manners, he's just a little too much for Callie. So that's the story over there in Toronto. I believe Tex is looking for a home. If anybody's interested and they see the picture on Facebook, you can message me if you're in Toronto. And over here at Camp Good Dog, we do have 6 Golden Doodle puppies looking for homes. They were born in February. They're more than ready to go. They've had all their shots. And they're looking for good, good people. If we find somebody with a special needs person, then the dog will be free, minus the cost of vaccines. So we're looking to give away a dog to someone who really needs it. A sweet, lovable dog. There's 2 in particular that would suit this kind of work. And I'd love to be hooked up with someone local to Vancouver, somewhere close to here anyway. I'm in Maple Ridge, but Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Someone who can travel here to collect the dog, who's got a special needs person in the family and wants a little love muffin to bring that person a lot of attention and affection and engagement and compassion, because that's what golden doodles do. Okay, so I've got a big list here. I want to talk about bears, but I may not get to that today. We may have to save that. And I still have caller requests. If you've reviewed a caller, if you've tried the caller and it was absolute crap or it was great, I want you to let me know. And I'm talking about the callers that automatically the doggy door only opens if you're wearing the collar. It's also for cats. If you got a cat collar that opens the cat door and you love it or you hate it, please let me know. So we're looking for collars that work stuff. It's because I had a question from a listener asking me, is there an all-in-one? They want to give their dog a collar that they can control to do something to stop him from barking when his barking's too much, to do something to let him into the doggy door, and also to be able to find him if he runs off. I know, sounds like a great dog. Anyway, so I'm like, you know, you should call me and ask me how to teach your dog to come and how to teach your dog to be quiet. But whatever. Sometimes we need these aids. So if you've got a collar that does any of those things, you know, allows you to find your pet or allows your pet to get in the door or stops your pet from making noise. And I'm really steering away from the shocks. I'm hoping you got something else like a lemon spray, citronella spray, or a vibration or a loud noise. Those are all okay. I'm not looking for electric shocks. Not at all. I am not interested in adding adrenaline and pain to my relationship with my animals. And I don't think you are either if you're listening to this show. But if you've tried the other kind of collars and you have a review, I want it. Send it to me. I don't trust Google reviews at all. I don't trust Amazon reviews. It's all paid for. They get people to do it. So I trust you guys. I totally trust you guys. So send it to me at deb@petliferadio.com and I'll give you guys some good recommendations for callers based on what listeners suggest. So that's one thing I wanted to put out there. And now we're going to go to break, listen to a couple commercials and come back. We're going to talk about the subway and also True Restroom on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Has your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. So while I was in Toronto, I noticed a lot of things about the dogs of Toronto. First, I noticed there's loads of them. Way more than I ever remember. So the laws about rentals and pets must have relaxed a lot because they're everywhere in areas where people rent and where there's density. So that's the first thing I noticed. Second thing I noticed was dog parks all over the place. Yay, I love that. I was around walking dogs when they were just beginning to realize we needed dog parks. And it was always such a big deal. But now they're fenced properly and they're marked properly so that people who hate them aren't walking into them by accident or getting jumped on and all the stuff that they dislike, getting wet and splashed and muddy or scared. Yeah, none of that happens anymore because it's all segregated. It's perfect. But so I was enjoying Toronto from that perspective, even though I didn't have a dog with me. But in particular, I was riding the subway quite a bit, and I noticed dogs on the subway. I noticed dogs on the subway. I noticed a puppy learning the subway. I noticed all kinds of things down there that I thought were great. What a way to open up transit. That was fantastic. They don't need a special pass. They don't need anything. They just need a leash. That's it. A leash. Collar. They can go on the subway. So what a forward way of thinking. And it makes life so much safer for women. I've said this before, but, you know, when I was a woman, a single woman, no matter where I was, I always noticed that I could do things my friends couldn't. I could go for a run anytime I wanted, wherever I wanted, even midnight, even the deep forest. It didn't matter. I'd just take a dog or two. And nobody's going to bother me. They're going to bother someone else. They're going to look at me and say, she's not worth troubling with. That's right. I'm not. Woof, woof. Go away. No problems. Never. Did I ever see other women alone in the park at night? No, I never did. Did I see men there? Of course I did. Because the parks are safe for some of us. But they're certainly not safe for women and children, which is who the parks are built for mostly. So women and children aren't safe in parks unless they're in numbers, or they go in broad daylight, or they go to busy areas, or they have a dog. That's really the bottom line there. So opening up the subways means if I was living in Toronto, I could go hiking anywhere without needing a car. I could take the subway to the beach, or I could take the subway to the park, or I could take the subway to a dog park and bring my dog and be safe. And that's amazing. That's an amazing financial barrier that used to be there. It used to be only wealthy people could afford to own a home and own a dog. So if you were a student or a young woman and you didn't own a home, you couldn't own a dog, and therefore you were really restricted. You had to find a friend who wanted to run at the same time you did, in the same place you did, at the same pace as you. Yeah, no, that's not easy to find. Your dog always wants to run in the same place as you, with you, at the same time, at the same pace. Always, always. Your dog is like, got it. That's my thing. So that's why it's such a wonderful thing that the subway's so open. Okay, so I was going to talk about litter, cat litter, but I'll save that for next time, and excuse the pun, but it's such a crappy topic. Ba-dum-bum. Okay, so let's talk about rescue. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, I rescued, and then they point at this absolutely purebred dog that there's no way they rescued. I look at it and I go, oh yeah, he rescued that, right, sure. Now, maybe a dog was given to you, and maybe a dog didn't cost much money. Maybe someone bought it and then changed their mind and then dumped it. But that's not exactly what rescue means. Rescue, normally, in the pet professional world anyway, when we say rescue, we're talking about an animal that is needing a lot. Let's call it a special needs animal, at least at first. It's usually got health problems, usually got behavioral problems, and some of those aren't even apparent at the start. So when you get a true rescue, you're getting an animal that was either neglected or abused. And the results of that, well, first of all, let me just say, it's remarkable what they can come back from. Because if a person were to be abused the way some of these animals are, or neglected that way, they'd never be right again. All the therapy in the world wouldn't undo that kind of abuse at such a young age. And yet, you can take a dog who's known nothing but horror from people and convert him into a loving animal. It's amazing what they can come back from. You can have a cat who's been tormented and mistreated and neglected, and after a year or so, is now a cat who knows how to love, give love and get love and trust. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But it takes effort, consistency, persistence, and time. Like when I said a year, I mean a year. It doesn't happen quickly. And some of these dogs and cats that are brought from other places come with diseases and parasites from other places that don't manifest right away and are very hard to treat here. So you have to think about that too. But a true rescue, like when I say Blue Buddy Bandit was a rescue, I noticed him at my neighbor's down the road, another farm, and I noticed him tied up all the time, tied up. This blue heeler tied up with these sheep and goats, but tied up, which is wrong. He shouldn't be tied up. Something was off with that. So I wrote him a few notes, you know, with my business card and, do you need some training? I'll offer you some training. He never took me up on it. A while later, I noticed the dog's not even out anymore. So I think to myself, oh no, I hope he didn't put the dog down. What was going on there? This just seemed so wrong. Eventually, I meet him, and the guy tells me that the dog had been given to him, that had been abused originally, tied to a trailer while the man, the first owner, went to work, tied by his leg. So, if the dog, not by the neck, because he would, blue heelers have big fat bodies and skinny necks and skinny heads, so he would be able to get out of his collar. So the guy tied him by his leg. So that's very abusive and very, the puppy would have had all kinds of reactive instincts to dart and play and pulled on the leg over and over and over. It's a very, very awful thing to do. And there are many collars that fit blue heelers that could have worked instead. But okay, he wanted to leave his dog tied up while he went to work, and this is what happened. So that was the first part of the abuse. Then the guy wanted to go on long trips, and he forced the dog into situations that weren't good, so the dog became afraid of traveling and afraid of cars, and there were other issues. So by the time he dumped him on the farmer around the corner, the dog was a blue heeler and young, maybe three, and super fit, and the farmer had sheep and goats. The dog was really good at herding them, but he didn't have any commands, so he wouldn't stop. And that was the farmer's complaint. He said, I can't have skinny goats and skinny sheep that are running around all day. You have to teach them how to stop. So I taught him how to stop. It was really easy. And after that, he said, you know what? He doesn't like the car. So then I taught him how to go in the car. And the man said, well, you know, now he's a great dog. It's thank you very much. And I said, you know what? If you ever grow tired of him, let me know. So this continued for a while. And eventually he sold all his sheep and he sold all his goats. A year or two later, the dog's now five. And the man calls me up and says, I don't really want the dog anymore. I don't have sheep and I don't have goats, so I don't have a need for it. Do you want him? And of course, yes. Yes, I want him. My old blue heeler died a few years before, and I've always liked to have a herding dog, but I won't go buy a dog. And this one has all these issues, and he's complicated as I'll get out. But what a sweetie, and so talented at herding, and just so responsive to me, and completely bonded to me within a few lessons, you know, just a wonderful dog. So yes, I took him, and that was 10 years ago. And as he grew old, that leg injury manifested more and more and more, and he became quite a limpy dog, but that was okay. And then he went a little blind, then he went a little deaf too, and then sometimes he was confused. And the whole combination of confusion and deafness and blindness and having accidents toward the end, mostly the confusion, made it his time. But that's what a rescue dog is. A dog that's a project. They'll love you like no other dog. The sun rises and sets on your head if you rescue them. They're so aware of what it's like to not be owned, to be on hard times, that they're so grateful every day. They're just so excited to see you, so excited to be with you, so happy to please you. But it takes some work in the beginning. And you really, I mean, with Blue, I had to teach him a lot of things and get him to unlearn a lot of bad habits. But he became a dog who fit me like a glove and could go anywhere off leash and do whatever I wanted and was just an amazing companion. So if you have the time to take on a project, a rescue dog is gonna pay you back tenfold. Okay, everybody, the show's been for Blue on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.